Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
As if any show would be any different than any other show. This is going to be a good show. I certainly got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be talking about some IndyCar. In Pocono, obviously, there's some big changes going on out of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So that's something that we're going to talk about in Coney Island yesterday. For sure, for real. Remember to follow us on Twitter at TheBalance. Guys, let's get things going. Let's do what we do so well. My name's Saul Mark Michelle Presidente. You dialed into The Balance. We'll be right back. Get things rolling right after this.
All right. Well, we're gonna try this again. We are absolutely gonna try this again. Kevin, let me ask you this: did you hear my monologue, my open monologue?
No, I did not.
You know what? I totally thought that was the case. So here's what we're gonna do. Welcome to The Balance. My name's Tom Mark with Sal Presidente. You have reported to duty to the number one sports talk show in the world between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Eastern. I forgot to turn on my mic, Kevin, so I got to go through this whole thing again. Oh, that's okay. I hope everybody had a good 4th of July. 4th of July weekend. Happy birthday, America. Hope everybody had good times with the fam. I did some fireworks and some grilling myself, and so hope maybe y'all had some similar experiences. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'd love to hear about your 4th of July, and I hope everyone had a safe 4th of July. We're also going to be talking about some changes out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, some changes that you'll probably notice when you go down there for the Brickyard coming up here in just a couple weeks. We're going to talk about that. Also get into some IndyCar. I saw that Ed Carpenter was down at the hot dog eating contest in Coney Island, so we'll talk about that. Certainly talk a little bit about some World Cup, and yeah, there's another Colt player in trouble yet again. I don't know if this is something that we want to talk about trending. I really would like to believe not, but we're going to get into that conversation. Of course, NASCAR and everything that sports is right here on The Balance. We'll be right back right after this. My name is Sal Marco Sal Presidente. You have dialed into The Balance on Saturday morning.
Hot Rod Express.
Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar, the one to win the heart of racing. IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Tom Mark with Sal Presidente, and I am your fearless leader for the next 2 hours. Myself and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. How we doing, sir?
We are better than you this morning.
Man, I tell you, it's slow. It's slow getting rolling. It's slow getting rolling. Man. Got up this morning to the sound of a smoke alarm, low battery. So went on a search and destroy mission at 6 o'clock this morning. But, hey, it's all good. It's 4th of July, and, you know, everybody else gets the weekend off, but you and I do not. But, hey, I could not find a better place to be than right here. Leading the troops, as they say. So what'd you do over the 4th there, Kevin?
Not a lot. Actually kind of relaxed. Went down to Plainfield last night for the fireworks, and that was about the extent of what I did.
Good old Plainfield.
Yeah, actually, you know, the fireworks for being a small town is actually pretty nice, though.
I typically could see those from my house. That didn't happen last night, but yeah, I know. I absolutely. I actually live in Avon myself, and Avon has fireworks from time to time. So yeah, good times. Let the good times roll. God bless America. Happy birthday to the United States of America. You know, we may have our problems, and we may fight amongst ourselves, whether that be government or what have you. But one thing I'll say for sure, this is still the best damn country in the world, Kevin, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because that is one thing this will always be.
All right, well, let's get things rolling. Let's talk a little bit about IMS and what's going on at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. As we know, if you follow us on social media, and certainly if you're in tune to the IndyCar world, maybe you are, maybe you're not, maybe you don't follow IndyCar, or maybe you're not as into the IMS scene as most of us are that live here in Indianapolis. But the big scoring pylon that is certainly in land, and probably next to the Pagoda, probably the biggest landmark in the Brickyard, I guess, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And, you know, it's certainly an icon, and it was replaced back in 1999. Well, now they're redoing it again and giving it a facelift. They say that it's going to look much like the one that was there before, but it's going to have some video taping capabilities and so forth. So did you see that big old pylon going down there?
Yeah, I did, and I don't know. Like we talked earlier in the week, I know we got to change. I know they got to update the tracks and stuff like that, but there's just some things to me that should be left alone. And this pagoda and the scoring pylon, I don't know, fix it, but to take it down and just put up something totally new, even if it looks like the old one, I don't know. I think we need to leave it alone. It's tradition, by God.
Some things just need to be left alone. Well, let's talk a little IndyCar. Of course, the IndyCar. And before we get into that, I want to, you know, I did this a little bit in my opening dialogue. I talked a little bit about this Ed Carpenter. And you know, we're going to get into some conversation about Ed Carpenter out at Pocono, obviously back on the Oval. But Ed Carpenter was out at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Yes, sirree. Did you see that? First of all, did you see that on TV?
Well, I did. And the first thing that popped in my mind that pops in every time I see it on TV, why in the world are we watching hot dog eating competitions on Sports Channel? I don't get it.
Well, Ed Carpenter wasn't there as a participant, but as a judge. Ed Carpenter and Scott Dixon both actually were at, of course, Verizon IndyCar Series winners of the Indianapolis and Indianapolis 500 pole setters. They've also entered another club of Independence Day Friday, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest Judges. This day of sanctioned out gluttony. I don't know who won. You know, it's actually, don't get me wrong, I love a good hot dog. I love a good hot dog. But they dip it in water, and then they shove it in their mouth and see how many they can do. And apparently people take it pretty seriously. It's been the scene of some drama in recent years. When one of the contestants a few years ago when one of the contestants like hauled off in handcuffs or something?
Yeah. I mean, they get violent in some of these hot dog eating competitions. I mean, I don't get it.
Oh, no mess with my wieners.
don't touch my wiener. Leave it alone.
Touch my wiener. Well, I'll tell you what. I was trying to see. I had it up here. Oh, okay. I got it here. Well, the Joey Chestnut wins the hot dog contest, but before the competition, he did something else pretty extraordinary. He proposed to his longtime girlfriend. You know, so he probably was like, "Baby, if I don't make it, if I choke and die on a wiener, I want you to know that I want you
I
to
love
marry
you.
Me.
I love you, baby."
Can you just imagine the headlines? Chestnut chokes on a wiener.
what does she say? What does the fiance say to her parents? What's your fiance do? Mom, Dad, he'd be so proud. He ate 29 hot dogs.
He ate 29 hot dogs. Actually, I think it was the guy is from San Jose, California. He fell short of his record last year of 69 hot dogs and buns, but easily beat second-place finisher Matt Stoney, also of San Jose, who just downed 56. Chestnut is 30 years old, and again, he proposed to his girlfriend, and I believe that she did say yes. So there you go. And instead of cake at the cake at their wedding, they're having hot dogs, I hear. So
yeah, that's the way it's looking.
Well, let's get into some IndyCar. Let's get into some serious conversation. Obviously, IndyCar's back out in a track that certainly, if you're a stock car fan or a NASCAR fan, you know Pocono very well. And last year or year before last, IndyCar made the return to Pocono. So real quickly, if we're going to get into the IndyCar races, obviously practice doesn't start out there till 10 o'clock, so really don't have much speeds to talk about. But let's talk about the track itself, Pocono, and as we've talked about here on the show a couple times, it's kind of like looking at a clothes hanger.
Yep. Yeah, they call it the tricky triangle. I don't really consider it a triangle, but I mean that's what they call it.
Well, I guess you could say that it's a triangle, but I would say it's more like I like my definition of it. But let's talk about it. It's an oval by definition, but it's not an oval. But it's an oval by the way they also look at it by racing. So talk with me about the setup and its the track itself, Kevin. What does Pocono bring to the driver, and how do they prepare to race at Pocono?
Well, right now, Indy, I think, is still, considering last year was the first year back, you know, they don't have a lot of data to go by. And they do that last year, obviously. But I think this year is still, practice is going to determine a lot. You know, they don't know what these cars are going to do. I mean, Indy Light right now is at practice, and top speed right now for Indy Light is 183. So we get to Indy at 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock practice, and you're probably getting speeds up closer to 190, and that's a tough track to hit that at. So I think today both practices are just going to be all learning data and changing a lot of car setups.
Right, and I think that this is a different type of racetrack, if you will. Like you said, they call it the tricky triangle. Yeah, there's 200 laps, and you know, one of their famous things is saying out there is what turn four. So
exactly,
you know. So you're right. Right, we're seeing in Indy Light practices, Harvey in practice anyway with Indy Lights, 183.257. So this is a fast tricky triangle, if you will. So, in one thing for sure, we've seen our share of wrecks at Pocono.
You'll see plenty of them going on here. Now they do. They start three wide this time, which is different than last week's in Houston. So, it's going to be interesting watching them start three wide up in Pocono.
Oh, absolutely. I thought you were going to say something else. So, IndyCar out in Pocono, obviously we don't know exactly, you know, what speeds are right now, but we expect it to be pretty fast. And the thing about it, though, in all reality, the future of IndyCar and Pocono Raceway is probably in jeopardy because of really a huge attendance drop for tomorrow's race. And they returned last year. They returned after pretty much a 24-25 year sabbatical. So it was. I'm not sure. What do you think? Because NASCAR does very well in ticket sales there. What would you attribute to? Would it be maybe the weekend that it falls on, that it's the holiday weekend, or would you attribute it to something else, Kevin?
I mean, obviously, I think weekend, part of it is the weekend. I mean, any major sport right now is going to struggle a little bit. You know, people are spending time with families, and unfortunately, professional sports in general, not just racing, but racing is one of them. You know, you get your family together, and you can't afford to take, you know, 10 people from your family to watch the race on Saturday. You know, so the weekend does hurt it, and it was a 24-year vacancy. Uh-huh. And, you go away for 24 years, and it's going to take your sport time to get people interested again. All they've known up with where, because I only, you know, grew up about 45 minutes outside of Pocono, all we know up there is the redneck version of racing called NASCAR. So, you know, that's what happens when you go away for 24 years.
You know, absolutely. And there probably could be a number of factors that could be involved. You know, like we talked about the holiday. The IndyCar race is also sandwiched between the June 8th and August 3rd sprint car races, the NASCAR races. And the race also added 100 miles this year and is now a 500-mile race. There could be a lot of factors. You know, Jeff Gordon attended last year, I don't know if the drop in attendance was because IndyCar people found out that Jeff Gordon goes to IndyCar or
whoa
because IndyCar people don't like Jeff Gordon, for those of you that didn't get that joke. Just kidding. This could be very well, they better get their looksy while they can, because this could very well be the last year for Jeff Gordon in a race car, especially if he pulls off a championship, which, you know, we'll get into that conversation in a moment, but it is entirely possible. Certainly, and Carpenter has a good chance of getting a second oval win. He finished ninth at Pocono. Last year. So certainly it would be good to see local boy Ed Carpenter pull off a win. And certainly, as we know with Ed Carpenter, he runs the ovals. And then Mike Conway runs the – I believe it's Mike Conway runs the road courses. And, you know, Team Penske – only Team Penske, I'm sorry, has three wins, but has more wins thus far in 2014 in the Verizon IndyCar Series season than does Ed Carpenter, who has two. So if you think about that and you put that in perspective and you put it side by side, you've got a pretty big major player in the racing world of Team Penske, and you've got really a small fish in a big pond, or however that saying goes. Is it a big fish in a small pond? I don't know. Either which way, when you put the two together, one's a giant and one is not. And the one that is not has only won one race less than you. And he is a fantastic race car driver. I'm not just saying that because he's from Indianapolis. I like Ed Carpenter. One, he's a good person. You know, outside of him trying to beat up my man James Hinchcliffe out at the Indianapolis 500. we're gonna see a side of Ed Carpenter and Hinchcliffe that we've never seen before. Of course, you know, that did not happen, and everybody at the awards banquet was giving him a hard time. But, you know, and I think a lot of racers, you know, that's a track that has a lot of history. I think a lot of race car drivers like racing there. So, you know, a very good possibility that Ed Carpenter could pull off a win today, Kevin.
I agree. You know, like you said, Ed Carpenter, great guy. One of those genuine people that will stop and talk to the fans, spend time with them. But he's one heck of a driver, too. So, I mean, he has a shot. Like I said, you know, earlier, everybody has a shot at Pocono right now, because there's not really I don't think there's a team yet that has advantage, because no one has that much knowledge right now.
Well, you know, you're right. That's a good point there. There's been no driver has led 10 laps in all races the Verizon Series after Houston. I'm sorry, I'm moving through my talking points relatively fast here, but because I want to get into some NASCAR. But talking about the IndyCar racing, there's been seven different winners throughout the races. No driver has led in all ten races, and no driver has completed every lap. No, wait a minute. I don't know what my talking points are saying here, but nonetheless. No pole sitter has won a race. The highest start for a winner is third place. Top five, Will Powers, Elio Castroneves, Ryan Hunter-Reay, and Simon Patajon, and Juan Pablo Montoya. So this race could be big for whoever does win it. And certainly another issue here, and I'm just kind of – briefly going through this so we could get through this. But Elio's mistake cost him the race out there in Houston and led the first 47 laps on lap 48. And I don't know if you saw that race with Simon Patajon, but that was pretty good race as well. And also, you've always wanted to do this, Kevin. You've always wanted to design a race car helmet. Now you can do that. You can do that with Graham Rahal's helmet racing design contest. So, you know, I don't know exactly what the theme is supposed to be, but you know, let's put the Balance logo on it or something.
So let's put our face. We'll put the first photo we ever took together for the Balance on the helmet.
Yeah. Anyway, Graham Rahal did announce that the Graham Rahal Foundation will host its third annual helmet design contest benefiting children's charities this year. The Graham Rahal Foundation partnered with Alex Lemonade Stand Foundation, a not-for-profit organization that raises awareness and funds to fight childhood cancer and to give children and families directly affected by the disease the opportunity to submit their personal designs. And Graham Rahal's been doing this since 2012, and so now he calls it, that's 2 years, so now he calls it an annual thing. So there you go. So if you want to do that, you could go to GrahamRahal.com and be able to any of the Rahal Racing websites, for that matter, will guide you over to that. And the design entries must be submitted between Monday, June 30th and Friday, July 11th. And Rahal will select 5 designs from the entries that will be posted on Graham Rahal's Foundation Contest website. I'm sorry, grfccontest.org. There you go. Pretty self-explanatory. You can find it out there if you want to be a part of racing. So I don't think we qualify. The more I read into that, I don't think that you and I qualify to design a helmet. I think it has to be one of these families that have been affected by child cancer. So I don't know.
Oh, man, it may. I don't know. We'll dig some more into it.
I know. I'm finding myself like, okay, now all of a sudden I want to design a race car helmet. Hey, maybe we can get somebody else on board. I don't know if you guys
got it.
Hey, maybe, you know what? We'll design our own official IndyCar Balance helmet. That would be cool. Hey, you know, details to follow. My name is Tom Marquisel, President Jay. Dialed into the Balance. We'll be right back right after this. Remember these digits, 917-889-8516. We're jumping in the stock cars when we get back.
And the fast dog gun is an ace sitting up my sleeve. Well, I'm a wanted man, yes I am. They ain't never ever gonna catch me.
I'm on the run. On that open road, it sets me free. I'm on the run. I can feel the wind beneath my wings. I'm on the run. Dead or alive, they won't catch me.
Hello, this is Mark Timmons of Timmons Water Systems, 728 East Main Street in Brownsburg, and we invite you to come out and check out our salt and bottled water drive-thru that we have, where we'll load the water right into your trunk or salt right into your trunk. You don't even have to get out of your car. But while you're there, if you want to check out and see how we can fix your bad water, like iron, sulfur, rotten egg smell, hardness, bad-tasting water, ask us how we can fix your water at a minimal cost. Give us a call at 852-3005 or check us out on the web at wefixbadwater.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar, the one to win the heart of racing. IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
And it is 4th of July weekend, and, you know, myself and Redneck from Philly, we're going to be guiding you through that this world of sports. And, you know, if you feel like you've had just a one of those crazy nights yet last night because it was the 4th of July, and, you know, you got to have, you know, no bright lights, nobody talk, everybody talk softly. You just need your coffee and the balance. We've got you covered, and we got you on the road to recovery. Isn't that right, Kevin?
We have it. We are ready. I have my coffee.
Stop yelling at me.
Exactly. Talk softer.
Talk softer. Those fireworks got in my ears last night. Maybe that was part of your, maybe that was part of your 4th of July celebration. If it was, I certainly hope that you were safe. Remember, guys, you know, we talk about it in joking and in jest, but in all seriousness, no. Yeah, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. One, because it just isn't cool. You end up places you don't want to end up. And secondly, it's just not safe. So 4th of July especially, let's put that message out there. Guys, Keep it together, man. Keep it together. We need to keep all of our balance minions alive and out of jail. So there we go. 917-889-8516 is the digits. We've been talking some IndyCar and what's been going on in the IndyCar race series. Certainly it is time now to switch a little bit. Make the switch over to NASCAR. And Matt Redneck from Philly, our resident NASCAR expert, guide us through this week in NASCAR.
First off, they are at one of my favorite tracks when it comes to racing, Daytona for NASCAR. You know, not only do they consider it the Super Bowl, but if you want some close racing, you know, this and Talladega are the tracks you want to watch. You know, we came off of, did you see the video or live, whichever way you can watch it, for the nationwide qualification yesterday morning?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. And do you want to talk about? Are you going with Dakota Armstrong? Is that what you want to talk about? Or are you wanting to save that?
Well, no. First I was going to go with the wreck. I don't know if you saw it, but it was insane. Like about 17 minutes into the qualifying, just in the backstretch, you know, it started raining, and you ended up with like a 15 car pileup during qualification yesterday.
Oh, I didn't get to see any racing yesterday, so I was kind of out of commission yesterday. I didn't get to see any racing as far as I'm going blindly as far as doing the show today. I gave you a heads up yesterday that I'm gonna this is gonna be kind of a little bit different show for me. So I'm a little bit disoriented. So I did not see any race. But one of the things that I did see, and what I thought was really kind of cool, and I'm not really sidetracking, it's just, you know, what I wanted to make a point of talking about today. Dakota Armstrong from Newcastle, Indiana,
yeah,
won the poll. And what a you know, whenever you get to see a local boy do good, you know, it certainly, there was an hour and a half rain delay, the way I understand it. I was able to check my phone and Twitters and my little apps and stuff that I have, and I know a little bit about, you know, the race, and I know that Regan Smith actually, is it Regan or Regan?
Regan.
Okay. When I say Regan, I thought, okay, that's how you're supposed to say it, and I got to thinking, you know, because, you know, maybe because my hero is Regan, I'm thinking Regan. So Regan Smith led 47 laps out of 103 laps. Of course, Casey Kane passed him for the win. So break down the nationwide race. We'll certainly get into the Coke Zero 400 as well. But break down the yesterday's nationwide race.
Well, the nationwide race was actually, for lack of better terms, pretty uneventful for the most part. And usually at Daytona, you have several smaller wrecks during the race itself, and the nationwide boys were actually pretty clean. You know, with 7 laps left is when they had the 2 crashes that were pretty much the what you want to call the big ones at Daytona, which came for a very unique ending. You know, with basically 3 laps left, you have Casey Kane starting 12th. You have his teammate start 14th, and with 3 laps left, it turned out where Casey Kane got, you know, came up and got his first win since August of 2007. The last time Kane has won.
I was talking with someone at the office the other day about NASCAR, and we got to talking about drivers, and he was talking about, he goes, oh, you know, Casey Kane's my favorite driver. I said, Casey who? You know, and joking, because, you know, it's like no one ever talks about Casey Kane anymore. And there was a time where a lot of people liked him. Maybe this will change, certainly change things for him in that role, I guess. More people will start talking about Casey Kane. Maybe we'll see a merchandise trailer out at the Casey Kane merchandise.
We might.
Yeah, I don't know. I think all drivers. I'm making some bad jokes today. You know, I'm making bad jokes to make up for my inability to prep. So, you know. Well, so let's talk about the Coke Zero 400 out at Daytona. Of course, we talked about the rain, so we know that shortened qualifications. Top 24 were on the next round, but NASCAR canceled the final 2 sessions due to rain, so that left David Gilliad, who won the pole, Reed Sorensen in second, and Landon Castle third. Bobby Labonte, there's a name we don't talk about either. It's amazing what rain will do to qualifications and such. Of course, Jimmy Johnson on fifth. Dale Jr. Qualified seventh and trying to be the sixth person to ever sweep both races at Daytona, Kevin.
Yeah, I like Jr., but that's a tough track, honestly. There's not been very many to do it, so. I don't know. Daytona is one of those tracks that you could be first with 1 lap left and get caught in the wrong line and finish 25th, 26th. So, you know, Daytona is literally one of those racetracks that if you don't watch that very last lap, you probably won't know who won.
Well, you know, we can't talk about Daytona without talking about Danica, right? I mean,
well, of course.
I had it all ready. See, I had the lead in ready and everything, and it just didn't go there the way it was supposed to. You know, we can't talk about Daytona without talking about Danica.
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
See, I had the lead in all there. I just didn't push the button fast. I told you, I'm a little bit off course today. So, but no pun intended as we talk about racing. And so we're out at Daytona. So talk with us about certainly Daytona Beach, Florida. What a good place to be out on the 4th of July weekend if you've got to be somewhere stuck working like racing. You know, certainly rain was a big factor out there, I guess, so maybe it wasn't the place to be, but certainly a thunderstorm cut short the qualification. So let's talk a little bit about this race, some drivers to look at. And again, let's open up that restrictor plate conversation again, if you will, Kevin. To me, it's an absolute I see the reason behind it, and I think most fans, you know, want drivers to be safe and want that safety barrier. Okay, I get that. I understand that. We don't want the cars flying and, you know, going into the stands and all of that stuff that could happen if they don't have a restrictor plate racing. So understand that I'm saying that I know that there's a reason for restrictor plate racing. I just don't like it, and this is one of those races.
And I agree. And, you know, I understand the safety part, but I'm going to tell you from a fan perspective, I don't buy it as far as that's their main reason. I think the biggest reason they're doing it is exactly what they get right now. They get that, 43-car pileup. They have, you know, basically you might have two packs of racing. But pretty much all 43 cars are right there side by side. The advantage, you know, the pole. Look at it, like we talked about in the top 10 for qualifying. Your top four, who are they? And the way this new qualification goes, where basically they race each other on the track, which we'll get into that here in a second. There's a lot of drivers really upset at the qualifying this year. You know, you're getting exactly what NASCAR wants. They want that tight race where cars are bumper to bumper, side by side. And to me, I think that's the biggest reason they do the restrictor plate. Because think about when NASCAR first started, there wasn't that. So if the cars skated over 200, they went over 200.
Oh, I agree with you. I think there's a restrictor conspiracy going on there. Well, let's talk about some of the drivers who really kind of do well and probably like the restrictor plate racing, maybe because they seem to do well. And that one is Jamie McMurray. And certainly he's due for another win. His last win was at the Daytona 500 in 2010, wasn't it? I believe, or 2010. Yes. Talk with me about Jamie McMurray. What are your thoughts about him?
Well, as you said, when it comes to restrictor plate, him and his team have it. Restrictor plate is a different beast when it comes to car setup. But to me, it's even a different in driving. You have to, on a regular oval, say let's go with IMS. You know, obviously you have to be good, but being that restrictor plate driving is entirely different because you don't have there's no room for error when it comes to this racetrack or restricted plate racing. So you're going to really see those drivers, not just the cars, but you're going to see those drivers that just really know how to drive. And McMurray is definitely one of them. You know, Ryan Newman, he qualified 20th, but you know he's another one that's
yep.
pretty good.
I like Ryan Newman.
To watch him.
As a fan, I like Ryan Newman. He's one of my favorites. You know, also a kid to watch, and you know, and I had an opportunity to meet him a few years ago here at Indianapolis, and that's Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson, I'll tell you what, it's only a matter of time until this rookie wins a race. Really kind of a poor showing at the Daytona 500, but has learned what not to do while drafting, I guess.
You're right, and he's starting 35th, but, you know, if you go back to Daytona, and the percentage of winners out of the top 20 is higher than the winners in the top 20. Daytona is just one of those tracks that, I mean, obviously any racetrack, you want to start up front, especially something like Daytona, because there's less risk to get involved in that wreck. But really, you could start 20th, 30th, and still have a just as good of a chance to win this race as anybody else.
Well, let's talk about Daytona, the track itself. And, you know, and I know there's a couple other drivers that we could really look at. You know, certainly, and we joke about it, but certainly Danica Patrick would be one to look at.
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
But, you know, she's only led 13 NASCAR laps and all have been at Talladega or Daytona, and really she's most comfortable in restricted play racing. Dale Jr. is having an awesome year and certainly racing well, and like we said, already won in Daytona this year. Denny Hamlin. Now, real quickly, I want to talk about Denny Hamlin. Certainly we remember that awful, awful wreck that he was in, and he's really made a comeback. Talk with me about Denny Hamlin, his comeback, and what it would mean for him to win out there at Daytona.
Well, I mean, obviously that would be a huge stamp for, you know, his sponsors, his team, to say, yeah, you know, I'm healthy, I'm back. And you're right, he's done great, but, you know, with open wheel being at Pocono, I mean, Pocono was Denny Hamlin's track there for the longest when it comes to NASCAR, but he has been improving, but I still think that you know, I still think the wreck is affecting him. Yeah, he's healthy, but I don't know. But to me, he's been different. Just not as powerful, I guess, for lack of better terms, coming after that wreck.
What do you think? It's more of a mental thing, or do you think it's a skill thing?
I think it's more mental. Denny Hamlin, he's got the skills. He's a great driver. You know, I think it's more mental and physical. He's healed, but the way they bounce around in these cars and everything else, any small injury, by the time you get done 400 miles, 500 miles in tracks like this, it's going to feel pretty bad at the end. And there's still got to be something in your mind after a wreck like that. When a car gets close to you, I personally, and obviously I'm not a race car driver, so maybe they can, but I don't see how you could totally block that out and that not somehow mentally affect you.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we've talked about this on the show. The race car drivers, that's what they do. That's what they're about. But they're race car drivers. And, you know, you got to think that, I don't know. When you have a wreck, we remember when that wreck happened. I think there were people. Certainly, we weren't talking about it in the media on the air, but there were people that thought maybe a couple of things were going to happen with Denny Hamlin. One, that he may not make it, he may not survive, and two, he may never walk again. So this wasn't just any other wreck. So it has to affect him mentally.
Well, how can it? I mean, think about this. If we're in a local, we just get in a wreck at the red light, you know, for a couple weeks or months after that, every time you stop a red light, what's the first thing you do? You grab your steering wheel and panic when a car pulls up behind you, hoping you don't get slammed again. So, and that's us sitting in a red light. Now you're going 200 miles an hour, and you have a wreck that people might not even think you make it out of. It has to still be in your mind.
Well, and you know, absolutely. So, you know, I guess you know, I know we got off track there a little bit, but you know what a good race it would be for Denny Hamlin to win out there at Daytona 500. So talk with me about this Coke Zero 400, the track and the race itself.
Well, like with the race itself, again, you're looking at some tight racing. If you want to see your driver, what his driving ability is, this is the type of track to watch it. It's definitely going to have, you know, implications in points in the chase. We need some drivers out there with some wins. You know, you're looking at, and one thing I don't know if people understand this year with NASCAR compared to the past, You have your point standings, and then you have your chase standings, which isn't the same. So everybody focuses, I think, a lot on the points. Well, this year you can't really do that. So a win this year for some of your drivers, like you said, Hamlin, drivers like that don't have a win, it's huge because just that win alone will put them in the chase right now.
And you know what? This point, we might want to take this second to talk a little bit about that itself, in the standings and in the chase, because I know that there was recently a change in the point structure and how one gets to the chase. When you say get, now I know what you mean, but I know that we have a lot of listeners that the only knowledge they ever get about racing is right here on this show because they don't ever watch racing. It's not really their thing. They just you know, love our show, so we're that good. So talk with us about the when you say get to the chase, what does that mean?
Okay, the chase is basically the NASCAR's playoff system. Your last 10 races of the season is where you have your 43 drivers you can take and up the first 26 races, and they're going for what used to be the top 10 spots is now the top 12. Which our boy Kyle Larson sits in number 12 in traditional chase standings or traditional point standings, for lack of how to word it. I'll go down those right now. Top 10, you start with Gordon, Johnson, Earnhardt, which is all Hendrick's Motorsports. Just want to point that out because I am a Hendrick's Motorsports fan. then you got Keselowski, Kenseth, Edwards, Logano, Newman, Harvick, and Kyle Busch. Those are, when you look at the traditional points, which every position on the track gets a point for the race, which is why you'll see drivers that have looked like you could surprise all four wheels are still on the car will get out there and race, even though they have absolutely no chance to win, because going from 43rd to 40th is three more points. So it's huge just to finish a race alone.
Well, let's talk about go ahead.
Go ahead, no.
Now let's talk about the restrictor plate racing and limiting the speeds. Obviously, race car drivers race cars because they like the speed. And we know now, our conversations, we know that restrictor plate racing keeps the speed down, but I think also it keeps everybody on a fair playing ground, and it keeps it makes really a lot of teams that may not have a chance to win and not give them an opportunity to win, and maybe that's why we see names like Kyle Larson and we see names like Danica Patrick doing well in restricted plate racing. Another guy, Michael Annette, really has a chance to. A lot of people scratching their head and say, who the heck is this kid from Iowa? But I guarantee you he has a very good chance of winning out there at Daytona. And, when you look at drivers and putting that in contrast, when you look at drivers like Michael Annette and you look at drivers at a powerhouse like, Tony Stewart or Dale Jr. or Jeff Gordon or, Jimmy Johnson especially – That restrictor plate racing allows Michael Annette the opportunity to win at Daytona.
Oh, I agree 100%. And like we said earlier, yeah, they want speeds, but I really believe that part of NASCAR's thinking was exactly that right there. let's let the little boys, let's give them a chance to play even. And I like it. I like that idea. I'm not against everything that deals with restrictor plate. But I also see there as much safety as it brings for the cars not going over 200 miles an hour, it brings a whole new risk, a whole new safety factor, whatever you want to call it, with how close they're driving. They're still going 199 miles an hour. And 190 miles an hour, and you can't put a piece of paper between two cars, restricted plate or not, they touch, and you're taking out 20 cars, and some are on the roof, some are flipping. So it takes one danger away and adds another to me.
Well, right, absolutely. So we'll see how it all plays out there at Daytona, and as well. So real quickly, Kevin, we've only got we're talking with the redneck from Kelly, from Kevin. You have a hard time with your name today. Redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Jeez, what the heck? The redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. We're talking NASCAR. Kevin, break it down for us. We got just a couple more minutes to break down the NASCAR races.
Well, coming into today's race, like we said, you know, great story, Gillian having the National Guard colors on his car. Daytona race weekend on July 4th is huge, huge with what they do for the military, which blows my mind, and I'm so grateful for it, what they do, to honoring the military. But, you know, I really look forward to your winners, like your Carl Larson, your Paul Menard, your Clint Boyer, another guy that could win today. You know, you win today, and you're, like I said, right now we've got, there's 12 people going to the chase, and only 10 have wins. So there's two spots left that, in theory, a win might get you in there. And Kyle Larson is one of them. You know, he's sitting 14th with a win. He could be, he would be, go from 14th to 11th, just with a win alone. So I look forward to, I think some of your drivers, Jimmy Johnson's, your Earnhardt's, you guys with multiple wins. If it comes down to it where it looks like people are being crazy, I don't know if they'll fight for that win. You know, Jimmy Johnson, he has three wins. In reality, there's no risk. There's no reason to risk him or his car. He's there. He's guaranteed chase. He's almost guaranteed to be number one going into it. So I look at some of your other drivers that need that win to come out and be the surprise winner, for lack of better terms.
I couldn't agree with you more. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us for our racing segment. Myself and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman, will be back, and we're going to get into another world of the rest of the world of sports. I wish that we had time here. I could talk racing for hours and enjoy doing it and have a lot of time to. You know, I want to take this moment, though. Let's take time and reflect what the 4th of July is and the freedoms that we have. And, you know, I want to take an opportunity, if I can get through this, I want to take an opportunity to thank the troops, but there's also a very, very important troop in my life, my son, Zach. He retired from the Marines due to an injury that he received, and, you know, we don't need to get into all that, but nonetheless, he was deployed in Afghanistan. He's been has to retire from the Marines. You know, the freedoms that we have because of guys like my son and all the troops. So as we enjoy the 4th of July, and we enjoy our racing, and we enjoy our fireworks, and we enjoy our time off, and we enjoy sleeping in, whatever your 4th of July weekend consists of, take some time to just reflect on the freedoms that you have and who have brought you those freedoms and who have given you those freedoms. So, Zach, I salute you. Thank you for your service. Thank you, all the troops, for their service. We'll be right back. My name is Tom Marquis. This is The Balance on Saturday morning.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, There's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't wanna die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, 'cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full-service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Here's another romantic song by someone with a better love life than yours.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. 4th of July weekend, and so glad that you could take time out of your 4th and spend it with me and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Kevin, welcome to hour number 2. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready. Let's roll.
Let's roll, man. You know, I got to get back on point here. Got to regroup. You know, I want to talk a little bit about refocus. I want to talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Colts. Certainly, we're based here in Indianapolis, and we are We bleed blue here at Indianapolis. We're diehard Colts.
No, you bleed blue.
Now, yeah, that's right. You bleed eagle blood or whatever.
Right, eagle green.
Eagle green. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, and I guess every team deals with issues like this. And, you know, the thing about it is, and I guess kind of where I want to go with this conversation is really the trend that we're seeing, not only with the Indianapolis Colts, it just happens to be the most recent flavor of the month, the most recent topic. But I want to talk about these players that make all kinds of money. We'll get into this Indianapolis Colts story and tie it all together in a minute. There's some simple things they have to do. They have to show up for practice. They have to show up for meetings. They have to perform on the field. But outside of things that are directly related to the team, they have to stay out of jail and stay off drugs. We have a problem. And I guess my question is this something that's becoming, is this problem becoming more of a trend than isolated issues? I have no choice but to believe that this is becoming more of a trend. And we'll get into the most recent story with the Indianapolis Colts revolving around this very same story. But Kevin, we look at Michael Vick. We look at other players. Say Michael Vick because you're an Eagles guy. But let's look at – so I guess that's my point. All teams deal with this. This has become very problematic for sports across the board.
I agree. And part of for me that I've always questioned in the sports world is – and I don't know how to word it so it makes sense, but – I think we're allowing too many young people. We're putting, I'll say it this way, you're allowing this kid to come out of college at 19 years old and go from 19 years old, and let's say he was his family was mid-range. Now all of a sudden you're telling this kid, hey, I'm going to throw $5 million a year at you. But I still want you to be able to handle it. And that's tough for anybody to handle, let alone somebody that's, for lack of better terms, still immature in life. And I think that's part of the problem we have in that we're having all these issues.
Well, and I've always said that, you're right. They are kids, and they're thrown in with a lot of money and a lot of freedom that they've never had before. And some people, and I was talking about this earlier this week, some people need structure. Apparently, Colts player LaVon Brazil is one of those players. I guess what really baffles me about it is this wide receiver had the world at his hands. He was really one of the up-and-coming wide receivers in the NFL, and certainly when you have the ability to be that way and then play for a team like the Indianapolis Colts and to be passes thrown to you by leaders such as Andrew Luck, that in itself should be enough for you to say, I'm staying away from some of this stuff, but it's not happening. LaVon Brazil has been suspended by the NFL without pay for at least a year for violating the league substance abuse policy. This is the second time Brazil has been suspended. He was banned for the first four games of 2013 season for violating the same policy. Brazil told reporters at training camp in July in 2013, that is, that it was revealed after he tested positive for drugs that it's either money or marijuana. I don't marijuana, whatever. But I don't know what the substance was. It probably, in all likelihood, was marijuana. Going back to my point here, LaVon Brazil is just the flavor of the month. Indianapolis Colts can't preach to their players, stay away from drugs, stay out of jail, if their damn owner can't do it, Kevin. And so my point is, what's going on in sports and the Indianapolis Colts?
Well, with the Colts, I mean, I'm not saying our coaching staff in Indy is lets their players run amok, but in reality, one of the things that you can't deny is when Tony Dungy left, when Tony Dungy was there and the Manning and all that, other than Pat McAfee swimming in the canal, you never heard of anything negative like you are right now about the Colts. And we still have the same owner. Irsay's been Irsay since he's owned the Colts. He has his moments of stupidity, and that's his third thing. But I think the culture, and for lack of better terms, the players, the culture and the expectations that are on the players now, I don't think are standard-wise are as high as when Dungy's there. And, of course, you're right. It doesn't help that our owner is getting pulled over for a DUI with pills in his car and thousands of dollars in his pocket. How can you, as the owner, walk in the locker room and say, I will not tolerate drug abuse. I will not tolerate alcohol abuse. You have no ground to stand on. And the players know it.
That's the thing. You know, it's a monkey see or monkey do. And a lot of people think, well, when we talk about, the substance abuse policy in sports, and players getting suspended, we automatically jump to the fact, steroids, needle in their arm, whatever, PED, performance-enhancing drugs. That's not always the case. I mean, it certainly is a big case. And, they're probably – as far as drugs and sports, there might be certain drugs that they could take off the naughty list, if you will. But certainly when you look at things criminal, such as with Jim Irsay and now with Brazil, you gotta just start realizing that something has gone amok. You know, as good as we are, I mean. We could say certainly that Gregson's done it. Ryan Gregson came out talking about the Philadelphia Eagles coming over from the Philadelphia Eagles. Ditta has done a phenomenal job on finding talent, and we could probably get into that conversation in just a moment if you want about how well Gregson's been doing. But the point is, if you don't have, and we're talking about the Indianapolis Colts, but it could be any team. And you know what? They're grown adults, and certainly they have the freedoms that they have because they are adults. But they should also act as adults. But they should, more importantly than that, they are leaders, they're role models, and they should act as that. Now, we could get into the conversation, which if we wanted to, we could get into the conversation about the naughty list with the PED. That's a completely different. I will hear that conversation. I do not want to hear, marijuana is legal. Marijuana should be legal. I know there's a bunch of pot smokers out there. That's cool. We like to joke about it and have fun with it and, have fun with the pot smokers and that sort of stuff. But the point is, in most states, there's a few states it is legal, so we'll go play for the Broncos then. but if you play for the Colts, it's not legal. And either which way, even if it's legal in the state that you're in, it's not legal within the NFL. I'm just saying it's not legal. So that said. We could real quickly here, we got just a few minutes here. We could get into the conversation, if you want, about the PED or the performance-enhancing drugs. I guess there are certain things there, Kevin, that each of us ought to be free to assume risk, if you will, in taking these PEDs. I mean, really what it does, the way I understand a lot of these PEDs, it doesn't help them be better players. It just helps them recover faster. So you know, there's a lot of wear and tear on a sports athlete. So it just allows them to recover faster, so that they can stay at the peak of their game. So maybe when you look at it from that way. So there, I guess there are people that would say, you know, we ought to old enough to assume the risk and sign any waivers or liabilities. But in my opinion, performance enhancers or PEDs like steroids and other forms of doping all have a negative long-term effect on health. And so I don't know. What do you think on that part of it, Kevin?
I agree. Stuff like PED, you're not that's a individual putting their physical body in danger. You're not endangering anyone else. And it's not making you stronger. It's not, I mean, now some will, but the ones you're talking about, they're not making you stronger. They're not making you faster. You're right. It's after the game's over and your body's just been beat up on the football field, your muscles recover. So maybe you are able to work out harder than others, which makes you stronger if you want to go that route. But they're not hurting anybody. But you're right. It doesn't. The fact is this. I'm a chef. And in my kitchen, it doesn't matter if Indiana makes smoking pot legal. The reality of it is, it's still not authorized by my company, so therefore it doesn't matter. And you also have to look at, like you said, role models. These guys, and you hear the statement, which we've all heard, well, I didn't ask to be a role model. No, you didn't. But you also know that comes with, That's the reality of that. When you become a professional athlete, whether you want to be or a role model or not, well, like I always tell people, suck it up, buttercup, you are. And act like it.
Right. You know, and I think it's about sportsmanship. I mean, I know there are people that might say, how exactly does the spirit of the sport forbid, have to do with loading up on carbs or, you know, the protein stuff that has some of that PED stuff on the list. Here's what we've kind of got off on a tangent here, but here's the thing. Anti-doping programs, I think, seek to preserve what is valuable about the sport. And, you know, you're either for it or you're against it. I guess I'm more of the traditionalist. I'm against it. You know, and we look at it really have become an issue in the Olympics. I think the spirit of the sport is the celebration of, you know, this is what we could do as a human, not to exceed. But there's a lot of pressure that's put on that as well. I think it just all goes back to ethics, fair play, honesty, overall good health, fun, joy to be around. You know, let's face it, these people that are on PEDs, it affects their moods, you know, their home life. You know, going back to the whole against the law thing, and, you know, if you could sum it up, I think that doping is fundamentally contrary to the spirit of the sport, which, you know, you can feel free to disagree with me or agree with me if you want to. You feel free to give us a call here, 917-889-8516. Be glad to talk with you about it. I mean, you know, as far as the PED thing goes, I'm not going to get into a conversation. Well, we could. I'm not going to agree with you on, you know, illegal drugs such as marijuana. And I guess, you know, I had that quote wrong earlier. I guess what he said to reporters was it's either smoke pot or blow the money. So, yeah, that was a real intelligent comment. Okay, so I wanted to make sure that when I quote somebody, I use the real quote. So that's what he said. So certainly Colts receiver Lavon Brazil, certainly the most recent flavor of the month to be suspended, and certainly I wouldn't be surprised, and certainly definitely would not be surprised if Brazil never puts on a Colts uniform ever again. And That's fine with me because, to be honest with you, we don't need players like LeVon Brazil. As good as he might be, we don't need players like him on the Indianapolis Colts. I'd rather go 0-13 or 1-12 or, you know, never make the playoffs if my only option was to have guys like LeVon Brazil on my team. So, good riddance, LeVon. I hope another team doesn't pick you up. But the unfortunate thing is the stupidity that lies within team ownerships and the greed. They'll pick him up. He'll get a player somewhere else next year, and we'll be talking about where LeVon Brazil ended up at, and you know, that's how this game that we call sports goes. Okay, well let's get, you know, we've got just a few more minutes here, and you know, you talk about Ryan Grigson a while ago. You know, and only because of the fact that, you know, we could get good players. Tying that in, we don't need Brazil. I mean, we got Ryan Grigson. He can find players anywhere. I don't know where I was going with that. I really don't. But I wanted to go back to that point. But, you know, also speaking of the Indianapolis Colts, McAfee and Fleener, surprise, we talk about the vets in the 4th of July. How awesome was this? Did you see this story, Kevin? I saw this come across my desk yesterday, and I wanted to talk about it because how awesome is this? Pat McAfee, you know, I like that dude, man. He's got especially here local in Indianapolis. You may not know this on the national basis, but Pat McAfee, it does a lot locally. He's given a lot back to the community. But, you know, I guess I think he's more than paid for his sins. He himself was in trouble with the law a few years back, apparently intoxicated and swimming in the canal down in Broad Ripple, which is, you know, a little village area where people go and hang out and, you know, relax or whatever. But one night decided he'd had too much to drink or something. Not really sure the whole story, but the police caught him swimming in the canal, and he got arrested for public intoxication. And you know, really, ever since then, he really has turned his act around. You know, if you look at the old mugshot, he had the long hair, hippie look, and now he's all clean cut, and you know, so. Here's a story, and I saw it in USA Today, but Pat McAfee, Colby Fleener, my man Colby Fleener, I sport his jersey, by the way, honor Army veteran with a surprise. Eric Ulrich pulled into his driveway of his Indianapolis home here after a trip to Chicago, and there were sitting in his yard Indianapolis Colts players Pat McAfee and Colby Fleener. I thought this was some kind of a joke, said the retired Army veteran, a Bronze Star and Purple Heart recipient. Have I been punked? Well, yes, Ulrich had been, but who better to do it than McAfee, the king of pranks and all-around funny stuff. This time, though, the trick was serious. So you see, Ulrich is a tireless volunteer and president of Wish for Our Heroes charity organization, which, by the way, we've had those guys on the show before. What an awesome group of people. You know what? If you're looking for a charity to give to, Wish for Our Heroes is even if it's $10 a month. It's an organization that was founded in 2009 that helps veterans that are in need. It's given more than $10 million in donations since the beginning, since it began in big and small ways. Think a week of groceries or wheelchairs or a monthly house payment, clothes, things like that. Those are the things that they do. But basically, Ulrich runs what he does for the charity from his home, and he makes calls after calls on veterans, and is really out there. Well, McAfee has always been a big supporter of Wish for Our Heroes, and so in donating his Colts tickets and that sort of stuff and his time and money. So he's met Ulrich a time or two, but I guess it went on to the story went on, and I'll get it posted up on our website. But it just really was kind of a neat story that Colby Fleener and McAfee did for this veteran.
And that is one thing I will say, you know, this time of year, all that happens. Unfortunately, I wish it would happen more often. It's bad to me that it takes Memorial Day or Veterans Day or July 4th for people in America to put their flags out and say, God bless America and the troops and all that, which is a different story, so we won't go there. But, you're right, that was an awesome thing for them to do, and that's definitely one thing that the Colts could hang on their wall for doing something that was amazing.
Right, and I guess that's another reason why I wanted to talk about that, because we had just got done talking about all the bad things that the players do and stuff. And especially here on the 4th of July, let's talk about that. Well, and you're a former Navy guy, aren't you? Did you see, and we'll get back on sports talk, but they were showing different types of firework displays and stuff. And I guess, and I don't know which aircraft carrier it was, but the 4th of July, they said they launched missiles and bombs into the ocean. And I guess it's just a big spectacle that they do for sailors. Pretty cool.
Shooting
off some bombs or whatever.
Why not?
In the Navy.
Well, that's what we do, right?
Because they're just sitting there not doing anything, right?
Some
bombs.
Might as well launch.
I don't know. The things have got to land somewhere, but I guess it's certainly done under supervision. I saw that video come across Twitter yesterday, and it's actually pretty cool. All you got to do is Google Navy fireworks bombs or whatever, and you'll see it on there. Just saying. Saying we got about 30 minutes left on the show. If you guys want to join in the conversation today, 917-889-8516 is the digits to get to myself and that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Well, Kevin, real quickly, let's wrap up this segment, and then we'll get back and we'll talk about a few other miscellaneous things for the last half hour of the show. But any takeaways that you want to take away from this segment? Any points you want to highlight?
No, I will say this. I think this is one of our best segments ever, and the only thing I want to add to what you were saying before we did go on the break is, and we were talking about freedom and everything else, and you're right, you could sum it up in this: freedom isn't free. So, we'll pay it forward. If you're out there and you see somebody that you know was in the military now or was, whatever, just do the balance a favor. Take 5 seconds out of your time, walk over, shake their hand, say thank you.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and they're not even looking for that. But I one of my favorite things to do is if I see an older fella, and there's not a lot of World War II veterans left, but when I see them, I tell you what, I go up and I say, hey, I appreciate that. They really do appreciate that, and you can usually tell that they are. You can usually tell who they are because they're wearing the hats and stuff that say World War II. Speaking of the football, and then we've got to get to a break. Did you see Andrew Luck at the World Cup?
Yes, I did.
Luck at the Cup. That was kind of cool, actually. That's our boy Andrew Luck, quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And he was in the stands with the fans at another type of football game. Football.
Yes.
Well, I guess there was also a thing going on around Twitter that said, what did it say? It said, if the U.S. wins, then the rest of the world has to quit calling it soccer or something, calling football soccer,
right,
or something. We've got to take a break. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, hanging out with the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. This is The Balance. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
You know, after a long day here at the Balance Radio Studios, one of the things I like to do most is just to sit back, relax, and enjoy a nice cigar and a great cocktail. One of my favorite places to do that is Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mike and Tom have the setup for you there. I'm going to tell you what, they've got a walk-in humidor, cigars, pipes, tobacco, the way you like it. You like it mild, they got it for you. You like it strong and bold, they got something for you. They got a fully stocked bar with local drafts, a very relaxing lounge, a full service kitchen with a delicious, delicious menu, monthly cigar tasting events. You can play Golden Tee for free. Bring your laptop, relax with a nice cigar and the cocktail the way you like it. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Mr. B's Cigar Box is the place you want to go to unwind. Mr. B's Cigar Box in Avon, Indiana. Very easy to find. 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. That's 8123 East U.S. Highway 36 in Avon, Indiana. 317-272-6900. The guys out at Mr. B's Cigar Box are waiting for you. What are you waiting for?
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark, El Presidente, going to old school on the 4th of July weekend, Kevin. Crisscross, jump, you don't know nothing about that tune. That's from way back, old school. Old school, jump.
Hey, I might be the redneck from Philly, but I know about that music now.
Hey, man, I tell you what, that brings back Crisscross, jump.
Yeah, you know me. I got you jumping and bumping and pumping, moving all around. She's in the mix.
Oh, yeah. I know you're out there doing that crisscross jump dance. I remember that back in the day. Welcome back to The Balance. I'm Mark President today, hanging out with that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. And Kevin, you know what? On the break, I was looking up because it was baffling me what that was about the saying. And, you know, here's what it was. I think if America won the World Cup, you would have to call it soccer, not football. So in other words, if America won, call it soccer, not football. It, all of that. See? All of that. Now we know.
All of it.
Now we know.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? You know what? I freely admit that this has been kind of a crazy week, and, you know, with it being the 4th of July and a lot going on, I did not do the show prep that I normally did. So, you know, I didn't really formally put together our last segment. So, you know, it's the 4th of July. It's a holiday. You know, let's just let all the cards out. See, I can't even – I have no cliche shades anymore. I'm out. Let's just show all the cards, whatever. You know, I don't know. Just let your hair down. Let it all out. So what I thought we'd do is we'd spend the last half hour. Well, we normally do this in the last 15 minutes anyway. So we're just going to give us an extra 15 minutes of the iPod shuffle. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about, predominantly sports-related, but I guess we're okay with talking about things that aren't sports-related because occasionally, from time to time, we do throw in things that aren't sports-related. But and welcome, by the way, to all of our fans out at Indiana Talks who listen to our encore show between 1 and 3 p.m. Well, we're going to jump right into the iPod Shuffle. There's some old school for you. You know, we could go on with this iPod shuffle, you know, forever. You know what I like about the shuffle is you don't know what's going to be. And, you know, maybe we should change it differently now to our iPhone shuffle or, you know, our Pandora shuffle. Because I don't know, do people even use iPods anymore? I mean, they might. I mean, do people use iPods anymore, Kevin? I think maybe the iPod has been converted into your phone. So maybe
the iPhone pretty much replaces it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much still there. I mean, the function's there, and what an iPod is there. But used to, you could buy an iPod, and then I think they might still sell them. I have to admit, I'm a techie person. I like little toys, but I mean, you know, I got ADD, so I mean, it's like, you know, it's only fun for me for a little bit. I don't know how this show has kept my interest for so many years. I'm kidding. Of course I'm kidding. But you know, iPod Shuffle, you could really just hit play anytime and you don't know what to hello. You know, We used to, you know, one of the questions I used to ask race car drivers and things is, you know, what do you got playing in your iPod? What's playing in your iPod right now? You know, and, you know, this iPod shuffle music that we have, it actually
could be in their heads.
It could be. But, you know, I took segments from my own personal iPod shuffle. And what I had so many songs on that when I had it. I never knew what was going to come up, so it was fun sometimes, and I still don't know half of these that are on here. I put them all on there, but I don't remember them all. And we'll keep on fighting. Oh yeah, Little Queen, we keep on fighting to the end.
Well, I don't have to make up a 5-minute clip of my shuffle.
Oh, maybe that's not one we want to play on the show, but All right, well, let's get into it. Of course, iPod Shuffle, we do this thing called the iPod Shuffle every Saturday. And really, we just kind of wind the show up with it, kind of talking about anything and everything. And one of the things that came across my desk is a dual athlete gains international acclaim with second place finish at the World Championships. Now, what makes this person so unique? A few years ago, Richard Campari, and I got this from the Indianapolis Star, IndyStar.com. Richard Campari couldn't walk up and down 56 steps in his Victorian-era home in Fountain Square, which is here in Indianapolis. Now, this 76-year-old world champion dual athlete is participating in an athlete endeavor similar to the triathlon. It's similar, but I'm going to guess it's two events instead of three, just going on what I know the root words are there. In format with 2 5-kilometer runs and a cycling leg of more than 20 kilometers instead of swimming segment. And you know what? I really don't know what that transforms into real numbers or miles, because, you know, I came from an era growing up at school. They didn't teach the metric system too much. They didn't. So that in Roman numerals. So I'm so glad, by the way, that the NFL is going away from Roman numerals on the Super Bowl. So, well, how about that? You know, certainly on June 1st, Capper took second in the ITU World Duathlon Championship, 75 to 79 age division. You know, hats off, because I doubt at 75 years old I'm going to be doing that.
I don't think you will. I'm saying no.
Which, by the way, we do have green flag. I will point this out real quickly. We have green flag out of Pocono, but now we have a yellow flag for debris on the track. So there is a green flag for practice, that is, out at Pocono for IndyCar, for those of you that are just waiting in bated breath on that story. Of course, Tamika Catchings with the going on to the next story here. Tamika Catchings returns to the Indianapolis Fever, Indy Fever. And you know what? I have to admit, I don't follow the WNBA as much as I should. I certainly know who Tamika Catchings is, and certainly, and think about the WNBA. She was one of the originals. She is, you know, certainly a Hall of Famer in the WNBA. So, you know, yeah, I think that she's a valuable asset coming back to the Fever.
Well, we're 8-9 without her. I mean, she plays. It's just not her basketball ability, but how she leads the team on the court, because I do like going watching the Fever. How she leads that team makes as much of a difference, if not more, than her shooting and rebounding ability.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, if you want to put her in perspective, in comparison, she would be the Michael Jordan of the WNBA in playing right now. So I'm really excited to see her back. So, Kevin, let me ask you this: Did you come up with any stories for the iPod Shuffle, or were you just kind of you didn't know?
Yeah, no, I was looking at you know, I like the World Cup, and unfortunately we're out. But I don't know if you saw the play with Brazil when, I know I'm going to say the name wrong, Neymar, or is he Neymar or Neymar? Got kneed in the back accidentally during play and actually ended up with a fractured vertebrae. Also, obviously, out for the World Cup. And the bad part with that was it's 88 minutes into the match. So basically, with 2 to 5 minutes left, he ends up with a fractured vertebrae from a knee in the back, which is, A, bad for him, but, two, now Brazil's got to go against Germany. Without their number one player. So, but the number one and two, him and David Luiz, I think is how you say it, are the two top Brazilian players. But I don't remember a World Cup that's had, I mean, you obviously have your hamstrings and stuff like this, but I don't remember a World Cup that's had an injury as serious as a fractured vertebrae.
I have to admit, I don't know the stats about that, but I know there's been a lot of biting going on in the world.
There has. Mike Tyson has been training some soccer players.
Sir Rez, not his name. I saw an Apple logo, and then somebody had implanted the words above it. Sir Rez has been here, you know, where it shows a picture of an apple being bitten off of. Funny, funny stuff. You should go on there and search Serez and then just hit images. It'll crack you up. You know Jaws, and you know they got him in what's that movie? Hannibal Lecter movie, Silence of the Lamb. They got him with that. So just again, it's iPod Shuffle. So you know we're taking a bite out of sports.
We gotta do what we gotta do.
Man, you gotta do what you gotta do what you gotta do. But you know what though? Speaking of the World Cup, how awesome! Of course, that big viewing party downtown. But Soldier Field was filled with people watching the World Cup in the USA. I thought that was amazing, and then being right here at the 4th of July, I really enjoyed following the US. I have to admit. Now that the U.S. is out, I'm out. I've clicked out of the World Cup world, but I will rely on the rest of the world of social media to tell me, you know, what's going on. And I know that the IndyCar had a big viewing party yesterday, and of course Elio Castroneves and stuff was there, and of course that's their sport, you know, football. Football. So if you want to talk about anything sports or whatever for that matter, 917-889-8516 is the number. We got just a few minutes left here. And so, you know, did you see this with Aaron Hernandez? Obviously, we know about Aaron Hernandez being arrested, a gangster-style boy being arrested for murder and various other charges. An attorney for the New England Patriots, Andrew Palam, told a judge on Wednesday that team contract with Aaron Hernandez, the contract with tight end Aaron Hernandez soon after was charged with killing associated with it. It said that the team does not believe that it owes Hernandez $3.25 million. So, you know, Hernandez was counting on that money for his legal fees. So, you know.
Okay, he's probably paying more than that just for one of his attorneys.
His attorneys would probably say, well, good luck to you. Good luck to you.
I support that.
I do too. I mean, they should know him anything. I mean, go out and kill. I mean, it's we'll say that there's a difference in crime. If you're making millions of dollars and you go out and kill somebody, where you're at least there's enough probable cause to charge you with murder, then you need to lose your money. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, his obligation to fulfill that contract cannot be met. So therefore, their part of the contract should also not be met. If you cannot, that's like us saying, look, I'm not coming to work this week, but I still want you to pay me because I'm me. You know what? If I don't fulfill my contract at work, which is a lot less money than he's making, then they don't pay me. Well, you know what? He can't play football, so therefore he should not be paid from a football contract.
Yeah, and you would think, as comprehensive as these contracts are, that there's something in there that says if you go kill somebody, I'm sure it doesn't say
no
that, but I'm sure there's a clause in there that says, you know, if you do something like that, you're not going to get any money. And I would assume that he knew that. I'm just saying.
Him or his agent, somebody should have known.
I should have prepped longer for 30 minutes of iPod shuffle.
Well, maybe.
did you notice that? Where'd it go? Hold on here. It's about a waitress. Hold on here. I got it. Warren Sapp says he stiffed waitresses for calling him and his friends boys. On the receipt, big zero. Tab looks like it was somewhere around $69.43. Tip zero. And then wrote on there in big letters, boys don't tip. Warren Sapp did in fact leave a server a zero tip on a $69 bill at a sports bar on Tuesday afternoon after the Hall of Famer claims he and his girlfriends had a legitimate reason for stiffing the upper deck ale and sports grill waitress. As the linebacker speculated, Sapp says the waitress referred to his group as boys. The receipt was tweeted worldwide. And so he wasn't going to have none of that. He ain't going to call my boys boys because we ain't boys. I don't know.
I get it.
But I don't know. And I didn't. I obviously not heard the waitress's side of things. But my guess, this wasn't a racial thing. Why do we always got to make everything a racial thing?
And I don't know if you saw some of the responses that he got on Twitter. One guy put on Warren Sapp, you're right. Boys don't tip, but men do. Man up. Somebody else put, if he was there to watch the game, then why does the receipt say 320, but the game was at 4?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here's another story. We got just a few minutes left here. We got about 7 minutes left on the clock for the iPod shuffle. So Jackson pins a kid's book to help families deal with military deployment. That's pretty cool. I saw this story this week, and I said, I'll make sure to talk about this. Danny Dog Tags, dealing with the deployment in Buck's life. Being a child of military parents, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wide receiver Vincent Jackson understands all too well the feeling of kids forced to deal with the issues related to having a parent in the service. Because of his firsthand knowledge, And having empathy, he feels for kids currently dealing with the issue. Jackson, with the help of Lindsay, which is a school teacher, has wrote a children's book dealing with such difficult manners entitled Donnie Dog Tags, Dealing with Deployment. The book is about even how children in a military family have a role to play that even they can help. So, hats off to Vincent Jackson and his wife Lindsay in the children's book, and certainly he's been out doing autographs and the book tours and so forth. So, yeah, hats off on that. Are you there, Kevin? Did I lose you?
I am here, brother. I didn't know if you were going to say anything else or not.
Usually, when it goes dead, man, you gotta speak up. You know, and here's the thing about some of our stations that are on automation with us, because then, like, there's nobody there, so they load it in, and then we're set to a particular time to run. If there's a limited, an excessive amount of dead air time, the system thinks that the show's over, and then we end up getting cut down, and then they go to another show.
Oh, we can't do that now.
You could have been the reason as to why our show was interrupted.
That ain't right. Well, I know they say sports, but did you see over in California, I want to say it's Merida, I don't know how you say it. It's California, so I don't know how to pronounce their name. But they have, there's like buses by the multiple coming up for in there to try to migrate, to try to come up. And, I mean, it caused a huge uproar with protesters and you name it. there's actually some pretty, looking at the news on, there's some pretty scary moments for some violence going on there yesterday.
Well, I don't want to get on that conversation today. I don't have enough time. And let me tell you this. It's the 4th of July. It's freedom. It's God bless the USA. It's an American holiday.
Exactly.
There's ways to come into. I'm all for immigration. There's ways to come into the United States. That's the way they should do it, even though the process might be lengthy. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this is still the best damn country in the world. So people are flogging here. We're not leaving, although some people should. All right, we're going to have to end. We're getting close to the end here, so we've got to call an end to the iPod shuffle. We've got 3 minutes left on the clock. What's going on at Pocono? It's so weird reading this. Pocono IndyCar 500. It's like it plays mind games on you. Marco Andretti, we're talking about speeds. Marco Andretti, 220.470. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 220.214. Tony Kanaan, TK, 220.130. The mayor of Hinchtown, James Hinchcliffe, 219.761. Will Powell, 219.445. And Carlos Munoz, 219.409. Marco Andretti, by the way, he's leading the point standings. Leading the practice today. But he had to dip into his pocket, too. Did you hear that he got fined for his actions? Marco in the Snapple car had to dip into his pocket and come up with some money. Did you hear about that he got fined?
Yeah, I heard he got fined, but I didn't know what the incident was that got him the fine.
We got to start watching IndyCar, then you know, man. You got to watch IndyCar.
I would.
No, actually, what happened was IndyCar, they fined Marco Andretti for disobeying a direct order. Andretti ignored the order to let a faster car pass on Saturday in Houston. Thus being said, he said, chuck over $2,500 for disobeying a direct order. He goes to Daddy. Daddy says, here's a check. They move on, and he is leading in practice.
It really doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, can we talk about something else here, like race car driver, because $2,500, I spend that, his dad, obviously, is Mario. No, Michael is his dad. Mario is his grandpa. His dad may spend that much on a team dinner. So I would say that $2,500 wasn't that big of a deal. Going ready, though, 220.470 out there at Pocono at the Tricky Triangle, or as I like to call it, the clothes hanger in IndyCar. The clothes hanger! Go and three! Myself, the redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. Hope you guys enjoyed the 4th of July. Kevin, quickly, we're going to give you about 30 seconds to give your rant. Go, sir.
Well, I would say this. I think in the world of sports, boys need to stay boys. Warren Sapp's going to be pissed at me now. But they need to grow up. We need to figure out. He's not going to tip me either. I'm a chef. This sucks. But they need to figure it out. I don't know if we need to look at the age we allow people in or what type of restrictions we need to do, but it's not just football. It's sports in general, and we just need to figure out how to do it. And if your kid has a role model of sports, well, you as a parent, maybe not blame the sport, but figure out how you could be your kid's role model, and you won't have to worry about if that athlete goes out there that is stupid.
I absolutely agree. Well, guys, that's going to do it for myself. I'm that redneck from Philly, Kevin Chapman. My name is Saul Marcos, El Presidente. Make sure you jump on social media. Follow us at GBalance, at Indian May, and at Pro Indy. We look forward to talking with you on social media throughout the week. Remember, it is 4th of July. Freedom isn't free. We do salute all the American soldiers that gave us the freedom that we have. But don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll see you guys on Thursday for the Hot Corner.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.